He had a name, written and read by Tiny Pink Mouse. Chapter 1. Jolin watches through the one-way window at the black-cloaked envoy strapped down into the metal chair. There's an IV drip connected to one of his arms, and if his hands weren't strapped down, Jolin knows he'd be trying to claw it out. Someone had made the mistake of not securing him down properly exactly once. Even with the power-inhibiting cuffs, the black-cloaked envoy isn't exactly physically weak. He'd pulled himself loose that time, mindlessly clawing at the IV drip in his arm. Jaunlan has been told that among its other effects, whatever that mix of things is that they're pumping into him, it feels like acid poured into his veins. The black-cloaked envoy has stopped screaming, and his head is lolling against his chest. "Get it out," he mumbles every so often. That's all he's said today, so far. He's bruised and bloody from today's session, and Jaunlan forces himself to catalogue each new injury he can see. He'll read the full report later, but it's always different actually seeing it. Jaunlan hates this, hates that he has to be in charge of the interrogations. The black-cloaked envoy might be the enemy general, but Jaunlan still can't quite convince himself that anyone deserves this. But they need to root out any and all Dixing cells in Haixing, and now that they've actually captured the black-cloaked envoy. Jaunlan looks away from the one-way window, steeling himself before walking into the interrogation room itself. "That's enough," he tells the interrogator sharply, dismissing him with a wave of his hand. He scurries out without a word, leaving his tools behind. Once again, Jaunlan is alone with the black-cloaked envoy. The black-cloaked envoy is looking at him. His eyes are heavy-lidded and red-rimmed. His head keeps falling down. It's clearly a struggle to keep his attention focused on Jaunlan. "I'm sorry about this," Jaunlan says a bit brusquely as he walks to the black-cloaked envoy's side. For a moment he has the stray urge to brush away some of the sweat-damp hair clinging to the envoy's forehead. He dismisses that ridiculous thought and bends over to carefully remove the IV from the envoy's arm. The black-cloaked envoy slumps down once Jaunlan pulls the catheter out, a quiet sigh escaping him. Jaunlan takes his time removing the restraints, giving the envoy that little moment to gather himself. He's no danger to Jaunlan in his current state, and even if he was, the guards are never far away. "Are you up to walking?" Jaunlan asks. They'll both be more comfortable away from this room. The envoy seems to think this over for a moment, and Jaunlan looks at the more visible injuries, mostly just bruises and scrapes, but it's not like the old ones have had time to heal either. Maybe he should have offered to take care of the envoy's injuries first. The envoy nods once, pushing at the armrests he's been strapped to lever himself up. His legs buckle slightly, and Jaunlan quickly catches the envoy around the waist, steadying him. "All right," he says, lifting one of the envoy's arms around his shoulders. "Let's get you back to your cell, then." It's slow going, of course, and both of them ignore the guards following them. Jaunlan helps the envoy sit down on the thin, hard cot in his cell. "I should get you a blanket, at least," Jaunlan mumbles quietly, and the black-cloaked envoy flinches at that, trying to pull away from Jaunlan. Jaunlan stands up, ignoring the reaction for now. One of the guards walks in with a first aid kit, handing it to Jaunlan before hurrying back out, and closing the cell door behind him. It's only the two of them again. He sits down next to the envoy, taking out the disinfectant and cotton pads. Wordlessly he takes one of the envoy's bare arms. The envoy tenses under his touch, but they've done this before. It's not like he doesn't know what Jaunlan is about to do. Carefully, Jaunlan dabs at one of the deeper cuts. The envoy doesn't react at all. Jaunlan glances up at the black-cloaked envoy's face as he keeps cleaning the wound. The envoy is looking down at Jaunlan's hands. "Stop, please," the envoy begs, his voice quiet and broken. Finally, Jaunlan thinks, It's the first thing the envoy has said to Jia Yunlan. So far, all he's done before is stare at Jia Yunlan with those big, wet eyes filled with hurt. Jia Yunlan keeps cleaning the wounds, and the envoy doesn't make a move to pull away. "I don't want these to get infected," Jia Yunlan says, not ungently. "You're different," the envoy says quietly, like he isn't really even talking to Jia Yunlan. Jia Yunlan is surprised at the sadness in the envoy's voice. He would expect almost any other emotion than that. "I'm sorry," the envoy says, still not meeting Jia Yunlan's eyes. Jia Yunlan isn't sure what the apology is for. Part of him wants to yell that a sorry is a bit too little and far too late. But he's trying to build a rapport between them here, and that won't do. "So am I," Jia Yunlan says, and those words feel more honest than he meant them to. The truth of them carve out a hollow space somewhere behind his lungs and settle in there. "We're not the monsters they make us out to be, you know," the black-cloaked envoy says. Jia Yunlan doesn't think about all the Dixingren he's seen questioned. He doesn't think about the pity firmly lodged in his chest. His mother's death flashes in his memory, and his grip on the envoy's arm tightens. It takes a moment before he realizes he's digging his fingers into the envoy's flesh. The envoy doesn't even flinch. Jia Yunlan loosens his fingers and continues on to the next, smaller scrape, and listens while the envoy talks. He's supposed to get the envoy to trust him, so, for now, he'll just have to listen to him talk about how the Dixingren are all misunderstood. Eventually, Jia Yunlan will get the information he actually wants. The same pattern keeps repeating. They interrogate the black-cloaked envoy, and he'll cry and beg, but never tell them anything that matters. The last few times that Jia Yunlan has been left with him afterwards, the envoy has been too out of it to move, let alone speak. Jia Yunlan doesn't want to think about the things the envoy has talked about so far. There's no point in doubts. Jia Yunlan orders them to give the envoy a day to rest and recover. Whether Jia Yunlan feels bad for the envoy or not doesn't matter. He's not going to give Jia Yunlan anything useful if they leave him in that state after every time. It's clear by now that the interrogations might break the envoy in the end. Maybe already have in some ways, but they're not going to make him tell them any of his secrets. At the end of the day, Jia Yunlan walks into the envoy's cell, a blanket held in his hands. The black-cloaked envoy is sitting on his uncomfortable little cot, hugging his knees to his chest, his head bent down. He lifts his head at the sound of the cell door. He looks surprised to see Jia Yunlan. Jia Yunlan waits for the door to the cell to close behind him, giving them at least an illusion of privacy. "Here," he says, holding the blanket out to the envoy. The envoy unfolds slowly, setting his feet on the ground before reaching out to take the blanket. He sets it down in his lap, smoothing a hand over it. There's a ghost of a smile on his lips as he looks at Jia Yunlan. For a moment, Jia Yunlan wonders what a real smile would look like on the envoy's face. "Thank you," the envoy says, and his words jolt Jia Yunlan back to reality. "I should have brought it sooner," Jia Yunlan says. He gestures at the door of the cell. "I was just busy." That's a lie, of course. It just wouldn't have been as useful to bring it earlier. The envoy huffs lightly, and Jia Yunlan can't decide if that's amusement or not. Now that Jia Yunlan has heard the envoy talk at length, even if it's about all the wrong things, he's realized that in some things at least the envoy is quite smart. And he knows from before that the envoy is an excellent strategist. Jia Yunlan wouldn't be the least bit surprised if the envoy knew what Jia Yunlan was trying to do here. It doesn't change the steps of this dance at all. He sits down next to the envoy. He hasn't really seen the envoy this lucid in a while. "Do you want to know my name?" the envoy asks suddenly. Jia Yunlan smiles at that, turning to look at the envoy. This has to be some kind of progress. "If you want to tell me, yes," Jylan says, only referring to their captives as Desingren is an effective enough interrogation tactic, but in this case, maybe this would be more useful. This time the Huff is clearly amused. Shun Wei, he says, and keeps looking at Jylan like he wants to know how he'll react. My name is Shun Wei. Shun Wei, Jylan repeats. The name suits the envoy he finds himself thinking for some reason. It's a good name. The envoy's eyes seem to soften for a moment at those words. I know who you are, Director Zhao, the envoy says, his voice suddenly cold. For the first time, the eyes that look at Zhao Yunlan are hard and unforgiving. The power-suppressing cuffs around the envoy's wrists spark once, and then the envoy's hand is around Zhao Yunlan's throat, what feels like sharp claws piercing his skin. Instinctively, Jylan grabs the hand, trying to pull it away. The envoy squeezes hard enough that Jylan's breath cuts off, the claws digging in a bit harder. He pulls at the hand holding onto him, struggling to draw in a breath. He can't even yell out to warn anyone, but there are cameras. Someone should be coming to... His vision is swimming, black spots dancing in his vision, but he sees the envoy make a gesture with his other hand, smoke shooting out from it, vanishing out into somewhere. The door to the cell opens, and the hand from Jylan's throat vanishes. He gasps in a breath, choking on it for a moment. Once he manages to catch his breath, there are two headless guards lying on the floor, and the envoy's blade is at Jylan's neck. That was a message, Jylan rasps out. You send a message to... The blade presses a bit closer and Jylan falls silent. We wouldn't have found this place otherwise, the envoy says, his voice grim. Thank you for giving me enough time to recover, Jylan. Jylan feels like throwing up. I'll do my best to keep you from harm, the envoy says, and the last thing Jylan knows is a burst of dark energy coming at him. Chapter 2. Jylan wakes up in complete darkness. His leg aches like mad, but otherwise he feels a lot better than he expected. He coughs and the pain in his leg spikes for a moment. But he's fine. Really, he didn't expect to wake up at all, no matter what the envoy had said. He blinks a few times, hoping that it'll make some difference. When it doesn't, he sits up anyway. He's pretty sure he's in a bed. It's soft and there's a blanket covering him. He reaches down to feel for his aching leg, his hands encountering what feels very much like a splint. I'm sorry about that, a voice suddenly says in the darkness, and Jylan startles, and then hisses in pain as he manages to jostle his leg again. Oh, I'm sorry, you need some light, the voice says, sounding a bit embarrassed, Jylan thinks. Jylan can't tell what happens, but suddenly there are a few flickering candle flames providing a faint light. He looks up at the envoy, who looks utterly strange in his slacks and some light-coloured sweater. Jylan had never imagined the black-cloaked envoy in clothes that were just normal. I'm sorry about your leg, the envoy says, with a small dismayed grimace. D.T. got to you before I could stop him. He wasn't exactly happy about... The envoy lets the sentence trail out, and it's not exactly difficult to fill in the blanks. But he's promised to leave you alone for now. For now, Jylan thinks, and wonders how long that will be. He has no illusions about what Desingren might want with him. He might not be quite as prominent a catch as the black-cloaked envoy had been for them, but it's not far off. There's quite a bit that Jylan could tell them, and he doesn't even have some plan of escape to hang his hopes on and somehow make himself stay quiet. What happened at... He swallows the next word, like not giving the place its name would somehow still hide it. Your headquarters? The envoy asks. Jylan nods mutely. The envoy sighs and takes a wooden chair from next to the wall, settling it on the floor in front of where Jylan is sitting on the bed, and then sits down. He settles his hands on his knees and looks at Jylan solemnly. It was destroyed, the envoy tells him. The people there either captured or killed. There's nothing you can do for them now, Jaylan. Jaylan closes his eyes. He wants to not believe the envoy, but considering where he suspects he is right now, he isn't sure he has any choice but to take the envoy's word for it. He didn't exactly like any of the people he'd worked with, but he's not sure he would have wanted them dead either. Well, maybe there's less Jaylan could tell them than he'd thought. He's not sure that's a good thing. The envoy looks at him expectantly, like he's waiting for more questions, and Jaylan might as well indulge him. It's not like he has any other source of information here. Was that your plan from the start? Jaylan asks. He's not sure what he wants the answer to be. To get captured and... He gestures at the air, not quite sure how to put the whole thing into words. It's hard to make out the details of the envoy's expression in the candlelight, but he sees the way the envoy looks away from him for a moment. Yes, the envoy says, his voice quieter now. Jaylan feels a sudden swell of nausea. For anyone to willingly put themselves through that, just to... No, Jaylan thinks. It wasn't just for anything, was it? How desperate was Tsing if they'd be willing to risk the black-cloaked envoy like that, for a chance at taking down one of the Haixing Inspectorate's more important bases of operations? They couldn't have been sure that it would work, that the envoy would even be taken to somewhere that was important. That's a lot to put yourself through, Jaylan says, his voice wavering. Maybe it'd be wiser to say nothing, not to keep reminding the envoy of what Jaylan had been responsible for. The envoy looks away from him again, and curiously Jaylan has the urge to touch, to put a hand on the envoy's arm, to offer some kind of comfort. It's just spillover from their previous interactions, Jaylan tells himself. It doesn't mean anything. Luckily, I'm used to pain, the envoy says, and Jaylan's stomach twists at that fragile hint of a smile on his lips. Fuck, but they'd had no idea who they were dealing with. The envoy gets up after saying that. He looks toward Jaylan for a moment. I'll get you something to eat, he says. He's walking out of the room and Jaylan struggles for a moment before the need to stop him wins out. Shenwei, he says, and the name feels like a forfeit. But Jaylan isn't going to call him Lord Envoy now, is he? And all the other choices are bad ones. The envoy stops like he's walked into some invisible wall and turns back to Jaylan. I really need to use the bathroom, Jaylan admits a bit sheepishly. The envoy hesitates for a moment. Maybe this isn't something he's actually thought about. Jaylan is happy to be told where to take a piss. He's not expecting any luxury accommodation here, but at the moment he doesn't think he can even stand. I can carry you to the bathroom, the envoy offers. He doesn't sound exactly eager about the prospect, which is possibly the only reason why Jaylan nods. As long as both of them don't like it, it's somehow almost okay. The envoy walks over to the bed and bends down to easily sweep Jaylan up into a bridal carry. Without quite meaning to, Jaylan lets out a little startled noise, jerking a bit in the envoy's arms. He bites down when that makes the pain in his leg flare, and the envoy had been careful enough not to jostle it and everything. Jaylan recognizes the tinge of hysteria to his own thoughts and tries to concentrate on just breathing calmly. The envoy just stands there with Jaylan in his arms for a moment, giving Jaylan time to settle himself, maybe. Then he walks out of the room, and apparently Jaylan's weight is no hindrance to him at all. I'll heal your leg as soon as I can, the envoy tells him as he walks. I would call a healer, but it's better if no one knows you're here. I'm sorry, but you'll have to endure this for a while. He sounds genuinely apologetic, and Jaylan isn't sure how to take that. Jaylan is also trying very hard not to react to the other pieces of information the envoy just so casually revealed. The envoy leaves him alone in the bathroom at least, after lighting a small candle. It's not exactly easy to manage on his own, but he'll be damned if he'll ask the envoy for help with that. The bathroom, at least, isn't too far off from what a Dryonlan is used to, just features a lot more stone than any bathroom has any right to. He has to call the envoy to carry him back to the bed, of course, but that's an indignity he can live with. "Call if you need something," the envoy tells him before leaving. "I'll hear." While that might be convenient in the current situation, that's not a piece of information Dryonlan is all that happy with. If the envoy can hear him from that far away, it'll make any attempt at escape that much harder. But then, Dryonlan is getting increasingly convinced that he's in Dising, and as far as he knows, there's no way for a Heisingren to get out of there alone. The food the envoy offers him is plain and not exactly what you'd call tasty. He apologizes for it even, explaining that they don't have that much food to spare. Dryonlan looks away from him at that, and just takes the food with a quiet, "thank you." It's not like the envoy was even trying to make a point. Not like he had back when their roles had been reversed. Dryonlan eats quietly, feeling awkward about being watched as he does so. The envoy takes the bowls away once he's done. Dryonlan thinks he should have asked more questions when he had the chance, but he hardly has the time to regret his own silence before the envoy is back again. The envoy is carrying a small stack of books, and Dryonlan wonders if those are actually for him. That's a lot more hospitality than he would have expected. The envoy settles the books on the nightstand. "Why am I here, Shenwei?" Dryonlan asks the envoy before he can say anything. This time the name comes out far more easily. The envoy looks at him, and the deep shadows of the room make his cheekbones look even sharper. Dryonlan curses himself for even noticing. It's not like it matters what the envoy looks like. Of course, Dryonlan had noticed, back when the envoy had been his captive, how painfully good-looking the man was. He'd even felt a bit of regret over the fact that quite possibly the most beautiful man Dryonlan would ever lay eyes on had to be Isengren. "I promised I'd keep you from harm," the envoy says, doing him the favor of not pretending like he doesn't know what Dryonlan is asking. "My people would not be charitable to you right now, and your people..." He lets the sentence trail out suggestively. Dryonlan wants to deny that implication, but the black-cloaked envoy is right. The Heising inspectorate would assume that Dryonlan was compromised. If the envoy had left him behind, alive, Dryonlan would be sequestered somewhere, unlikely to see daylight for a very long time. He bites back a laugh. Not that the outcome is much different now. "But why?" Dryonlan asks, his voice almost breaking. "Because it's you, Dryonlan," the envoy says, and the candlelight reflects off his tear-filled eyes. With those words, the envoy turns around and hurries out of the room, leaving Dryonlan alone with even more questions. Chapter 3. Dryonlan is woken up by his own coughing. He scrambles up, the pain shoots up from his leg and leaves him short of breath for yet another reason. His lungs feel like they're burning, and he's choking on air. He'd gradually started feeling more sick, sore throat, stuffy nose, that sort of thing, soon after waking up in this place, but nothing like this. His eyes are watering, and he tries to stop coughing long enough to draw in a breath. He manages a few harsh breaths, and then he's coughing again. His whole body shakes with the coughs, his leg throbbing in rhythm with them. First night in Dising going fucking great. He keeps fighting for breaths, forces the coughs down, no matter how uncomfortable it is. He keeps his breath slow, in and out. His lungs are still burning, his eyes watering, but for a moment he's breathing again. Then a cough he can't stop rips through him, robbing him of his breath again. He bends forward over his legs. He coughs until he tastes copper in his mouth and he still can't stop. He feels the warmth pressed against his back before he realizes Shenwei is there. Slowly the coughing eases, the burn in his lungs growing less. It doesn't go away completely, and his throat still feels hot and achy. He pulls in a breath through his mouth. At least he can breathe now. Shunwei pulls away the hand on Jiaolan's back, and Jiaolan straightens up. He doesn't miss the feeling of that soothing warmth, not at all. He's just worried he'll start coughing again, that's all. A single candle flickers into light, and Jiaolan can finally see something. Shunwei is sitting on the side of the bed, and that's too close, but there's not much that Jiaolan can do about it. Shunwei hands him a handkerchief, and Jiaolan takes it, blowing his stuffy nose. He doesn't quite know what to do with it after, and just lets it fall into his lap for now. "You should get used to it," Shunwei says. Jiaolan finally realizes he's been thinking of him as Shunwei. He shouldn't. It hasn't even been a full day and he's...
"Used to what?"
Jiaolan asks, the words staring at his throat like sandpaper. "The air in Dising is harsh. You're not used to it. And you're Hai Xingren." He sounds so matter-of-fact, and Jiaolan sort of wants to laugh. But that would probably set off the coughs again. Apparently the air's toxic, and Jiaolan is stuck here. "I'm not certain of the long-term effects on you, but once I'm recovered and can heal you properly..."
"Sure,"
Jiaolan says, feeling hollow. "Thanks." He's stuck here and dependent on Shunwei for everything, apparently including the air he breathes. Shunwei sighs, a heavy exhalation that Jiaolan doesn't know how to interpret.
"I know you have no reason to believe me, Jiaolan, but I only wish for you to be safe."
That is such a ridiculous claim after what Jiaolan had put Shunwei through. Anger is a familiar feeling, and Jiaolan embraces it gratefully. "Why?" he hisses, the word burning in his throat. Last time that question had driven Shunwei away. Maybe that's what Jiaolan wants now too.
"You'll find out one day."
Jiaolan snorts, and then has to fight a cough. "Right, because that's believable. Just tell me what the fuck you want from me." He's feeling too angry and tired and fucking afraid, and for a moment he doesn't give a damn if he's making Shunwei angry or not.
"You want the truth?"
Shunwei says quietly, lingering on the last word like he's thinking it over. He huffs dryly and then says, "Maybe it doesn't matter now."
"Well, tell me then," Jiaolan says sharply, and regrets it the moment the words are out. He should be more friendly, more accommodating, but Shunwei still doesn't seem to mind. But then, Jiaolan had let go many things when their roles had been reversed. When his aim had been to get Shunwei to rely on him enough to... But Jiaolan had failed, hadn't he?
Shunwei will fail too, Jiaolan promises himself. Maybe there's no point in even trying to get away from Dising, but he won't just give in. He can't.
"I fell in love during the war," Shunwei says, and there's a distant look in his eyes for a moment. Jiaolan is pretty sure that he's not talking about this current conflict between them. Never a war, this one. Any number of euphemisms to call it anything else but that. He doesn't know what Dising calls it, but Shunwei is talking about something else.
10,000 years ago, Shunwei confirms, with a brief smile at Jiaolan. And Jiaolan will think about how that's actually impossible later.
With you, Jiaolan.
The quiet stretches out, and Jiaolan has no idea what he's supposed to say. That's such an absurd claim that Shunwei can't think he'd actually believe it. But then... why would Shunwei even bother to say it? Shunwei lets out a small laugh that sounds relieved, maybe. He stands up.
"You should try to sleep, Jiaolan," he says softly.
Jiaolan can't say anything. Everything he can think of is wrong. Shunwei walks out of the room, and Jiaolan is left staring after him, the single candle giving barely enough light to see all the way to the door. Chapter 4. It doesn't take long for Jiaolan to lose track of time. It's always dark, and there's no way for him to tell if it's day or night. Besides, he's confined to bed, and he has nothing to do but sleep or read one of the books Shunwei has left him. That, and try to figure out what the hell kind of angle Shunwei is playing.
Shunwei was right about one thing, though. Breathing does get easier. Kind of. Even if he has to get used to the constant scratch in his throat. Maybe the air's poisoned him and he's dying already. Maybe that wouldn't be so bad. He hates the way he has to rely on Shunwei for everything, from the light to sea to taking a piss. He doesn't hate it because he's helpless. Not exactly. But because he can't stop himself from feeling grateful at the help Shunwei gives him. He knows that's the whole point. It's just a slightly different flavor of the same tactics he's used on too many prisoners. And he still can't make himself stop falling for it. Maybe it's the way Shunwei doesn't try to ingratiate himself. Doesn't try to be overly friendly. He just helps when Jialin asks, and then lets Jialin have his distance otherwise. Jialin has no idea how long he's been there when Shunwei walks into the room Jialin has been confined to, without Jialin calling for him, and without any food. Those are basically the only reasons Shunwei has come in there since that first night. Well, since Jialin woke up coughing his lungs out, if that was actually night or not is debatable. Jialin looks up at Shunwei, lifting a questioning eyebrow. He might have trouble reading expressions in this dim, shadow-filled light, but he's learned that Shunwei has no such issues. "I'm recovered enough that I can heal your leg," Shunwei says quietly. It sounds like he's making an offer, like he's waiting for Jialin's decision. Jialin hates that illusion of self-determination. He plasters a smile on his face. "That would be great. What else would he say? No thanks." It's not that he wants dark energy used on him, but Shunwei has already done that more than once, and Jialin doesn't feel any worse for it. Probably. He has wondered ever since Shunwei used his powers to ease Jialin's breathing, how much of the inspectorate's supposed research on the adverse effects of dark energy use on Heisingren is nothing but propaganda. He's read the research, after all, as much of it as he could understand anyway. And some of it doesn't quite ring true anymore. It doesn't hurt when Shunwei heals him. It feels like his bones itch for a while, but then there's just that soothing warmth he'd felt before, and after that, well, the pain is gone. Shunwei lets Jialin remove the splint on his own, moving away from the bed to give Jialin room. He wiggles his toes, his foot, lifts his leg a bit. It all seems to be in order, and it doesn't hurt at all. He pushes himself to the edge of the bed, and then very carefully stands up. He grins, looking up at Shunwei, feeling a rush of delight at being able to move again. Shunwei smiles back at him, happy and warm, and it takes a long moment before the cold reality slams into Jialin, and his smile wavers, and he has to force himself to keep it there. But Shunwei must have noticed, because his own smile falls away. "I should make sure the air isn't doing you too much damage," Shunwei says, and Jialin thinks he sounds a bit more brusque than usual. Jialin nods, but doesn't sit down. They can do this standing. Shunwei takes a step closer to him, looking Jialin in the eyes as he stretches out a hand to press it against Jialin's chest. There's that warmth again, spreading from where Shunwei touches him. Jialin can feel his breathing getting easier, and he hadn't even noticed it had been labored before. Shunwei pulls his hand away, and Jialin shivers, feeling unaccountably cold suddenly. "You'll be fine," Shunwei says, and this close Jialin can see the apparent worry on his face. "But this thing is not good for you." "Then let me go," Jialin says. He might as well call Shunwei's bluff. Jialin is tired of this ruse of caring and... No, he can't even think it, even if he can still hear Shunwei's words ringing in his memory. Something flashes in Shunwei's eyes, and Jialin feels a moment of triumph, despite the fact that he's sure that whatever follows can't be good for him. But honesty would be refreshing anyway. They've never tried honesty before. "Of course. If that's what you want," Shunwei says, his jaw tight. He's still standing too close, and Jialin can read the worry in his expression. "I can take you through the portal, but there's nothing I can do for you in Haixing." Jialin swallows, his whole view of things thrown askew suddenly. He'd thought he had a handle on things, somewhat anyway. But he hadn't expected that at all, and he has no idea what it means. I can manage on my own, he says, anyway, because he might as well go along for now. If it was something that might actually happen, he could manage on his own in Haixing, he thinks, for a while anyway. He wouldn't go back to the inspectorate. No, that's past him now. He knows that. But he still has some friends he could... He stops himself before entertaining the fantasy too far. It's not going to happen anyway. Shunwei's smile is small and fake, and Zhaoyunlan wants to step back, wants to get away from this damned lie. Why the fuck does it hurt so much? You should rest first, and decide what you want to do once you're there, Shunwei says, before stepping away. Zhaoyunlan draws in a deep breath, feeling lightheaded for a moment. But yeah, he thought so. He's not going anywhere, is he? Chapter 5 Shunwei offers Zhaoyunlan his hand and tells him he'll take Zhaoyunlan to Haixing. Zhaoyunlan expects the ruse to be uncovered at some point, and maybe there's no point in him playing along. But if Shunwei wants to play out whatever this is, then Zhaoyunlan doesn't have any choice anyway. He has no doubts Shunwei could force him into doing whatever it is Shunwei wants. So it's better to just go along. He steps up to Shunwei and takes his hand. Shunwei's palm is dry and cool against Zhaoyunlan's, calloused in ways that speak of the bladed weapons he prefers. Zhaoyunlan doesn't expect to be pulled into a sudden portal and materialize into darkness. He doesn't know where they are, and he can't see anything. He takes a breath and forces calm over himself. This isn't much of a change to the usual state of things. Shunwei is still holding his hand. Let me show you, Shunwei says, and suddenly the world blooms into dark purples, bright in a way Zhaoyunlan can't explain. Zhaoyunlan can't help gasping in surprise. The blindingly bright thing in front of him must be the portal to Haixing, he supposes. This is one of the rarely used ways into Haixing, Shunwei says. No one should notice us here. That makes sense. Of course, everything Shunwei tells him makes sense. Most of the time, anyway. That's why it's so insidious. Why don't you use it? Zhaoyunlan asks. He doesn't even bother to try to hide his suspicion. It seems to have appeared around the same time as the Guardian Lantern disappeared, Shunwei answers, seemingly not minding Zhaoyunlan's suspicion at all. The people who pass through it say it's an unpleasant experience. It may be that the portal is not entirely stable. Zhaoyunlan pulls his hand away from Shunwei, and there's complete darkness surrounding him again. He's not sure that's better, but he needs to, well, not be holding Shunwei's hand for a moment. Whatever is wrong with that portal, it's apparently enough for a people who are, by all accounts, desperate and need all the ways they can find to sneak into Haixing not to use it. If Shunwei wants him hurt or dead, he'd certainly have less convoluted ways of going about it. Unless he just wants to give Zhaoyunlan some false hope, just to be able to pull the rug out from under him. Does it really even matter why he's doing this? Fine, I guess I'll take my chances, Zhaoyunlan says with a dry laugh. Very well, Shunwei's voice says from the darkness, not sounding entirely happy about it. He takes Zhaoyunlan's hand again, but the world still stays dark. Follow me, he says and takes a step, pulling at Zhaoyunlan's hand. Zhaoyunlan doesn't move, and Shunwei stops instead of just pulling Zhaoyunlan along like Zhaoyunlan knows he could. You're coming with me. He didn't expect that. Not if the portal is unstable, whatever that actually means. Maybe that means the portal isn't that bad. Or maybe Shunwei wants to be there to take him back. Let him see Haixing, just to take him back again. Only to see you safely through the portal, Shunwei says patiently. Again, it's not like Zhaoyunlan has any real choices here. Just the illusion of them. He lets Shunwei lead him into the portal. He can't see it, but he feels it the moment he steps into it. He feels like he's being turned inside out, images flashing around him too fast to make any sense of them. It feels like something's tearing him into pieces, and Jylan screams. He can't feel Shunwei's hand anymore, he realizes. He isn't sure he has a hand anymore. He thinks he might hear Shunwei calling for him, reaching out with something. But then he's gone, and Jylan keeps screaming as everything shatters and he's spat out into blinding light. Jylan doesn't realize it at the time. Too busy being blinded by the sun he hasn't seen in a while, and screaming with pain to pay attention, but apparently he falls out into the middle of a fight. Somehow, that results in him saving the black-cloaked envoy. At least that's what Fuyo and Magui tell him once he wakes up. Yeah, apparently he's supposed to be 10,000 years in the past. Jylan makes everyone worried by laughing when he realizes where he is. It's not like it can be true, and whatever this is, hallucination, nightmare, or something else entirely, there's bound to be a teasing power that can do this. He meets Shunwei a few days later. Fuck it, whatever this is, it's nice to just have days and nights again, even if he has to be stuck in some kind of ancient nightmare to have them. Shunwei is dressed in a cloak and mask, hair long, and for a moment Jylan wonders what it would feel like between his fingers. He shakes himself, cursing at himself for getting lost in this lie, for letting himself get lost. You don't need to wear the mask, Jylan says slowly. He knows this isn't real, but Shunwei's words keep echoing in his mind anyway. I fell in love during the war. And what? Jylan is here so he'll spread his legs for Shunwei. Or something else entirely. Well, that shakes him out of the weird mood he's in. Shunwei pulls away the mask and smiles shyly at Jylan. You were hardly aware of it, but thank you for saving me and my men, Shunwei says earnestly. Maybe it wouldn't be so bad, after all, to just give in to this fantasy, Jylan thinks. Chapter 6. Somewhere along the way, Jylan has forgotten that this is all supposed to be a lie. But no, that's a lie too. He hasn't forgotten. He's just too tired to care anymore. He's exhausted all the time. There's not enough food for everyone, and what they have isn't exactly varied enough for anyone to be entirely healthy. There's the fighting and planning and the constant vigilance. They keep trudging through all that nature just to get to the next place to fight. Through it all, he has to somehow keep pretending that he's someone he's not. At least that's something he knows how to do. Pretend. Seeing Da Qing for the first time makes him want to cry. He hasn't seen Da Qing in years. Not since... He hadn't wanted Da Qing involved in some things. It would have been dangerous considering what Da Qing was, and Jylan hadn't... It was better to make Da Qing go away. How would anyone know to include Da Qing in this illusion of... What exactly? These are the constants of Jylan's existence here. Exhaustion, Da Qing, and Shunwei. Da Qing follows him everywhere he can, and Jylan doesn't have the heart to tell him not to. Falling into exhausted, dreamless sleep for a few hours with a black kitten curled into his lap is a comfort he won't let go of. Shunwei, on the other hand, Shunwei would leave him alone if Jylan wanted him to. But Jylan is the one who takes every opportunity to be close to Shunwei. It's like a scab he can't stop picking. He doesn't know what to think of this Shunwei. He seems so innocent in some ways, and that hurts in ways Jylan had never expected it to. If this is all a lie, then Jylan has stopped trying to figure out the reason for it. If it's real, shouldn't he be making sure that Shunwei does fall in love with him? Otherwise, Jylan wouldn't be alive now. The thought of it makes him sick. And it's funny that after all the interrogations he's supervised, allowed, ordered, here in this weird dream of ancient Taixing, he'll finally find the line he's unwilling to cross, and that it's something so harmless compared to other things he's done. Shunwei looks at him with those large, innocent eyes, and Jylan can't. Still, he can't stay away. Maybe he should take the opportunity to learn as much about Shun Wei as he can. Even if this is all a lie, there's bound to be some truth in it. Somewhere, somewhen, in a night darker than Jylan had thought nights could be, between one fight and the next, the exhaustion constantly dogging his feet finally catches up to Jylan, and he falls asleep talking to Shun Wei. He wakes up pressed into Shun Wei's side, Shun Wei's cloak covering him. For a moment he lets himself stay there, not comfortable exactly. He doesn't remember when the last time he was comfortable was, but feeling safe and almost warm enough for once. Then he straightens up and tells Shun Wei he shouldn't have let him fall asleep. Jylan was the one supposed to keep watch. Shun Wei smiles that shy, innocent smile, and Jylan's heart feels soft in a way it shouldn't. "You need the rest more than I do," Shun Wei says. His hand brushes against Jylan's in a way that could almost be accidental, if it wasn't for the blush suddenly blooming on Shun Wei's cheeks. Even after sleeping, Jylan still feels the exhaustion dragging down at him. He's too tired to lie to himself here, and instead of saying anything, he leans in and presses his lips briefly to Shun Wei's. Shun Wei stares at him with huge, surprised eyes, and then he smiles and ducks his head. Jylan thinks the pain in his chest might be his heart breaking. Much later, after so many nights of falling asleep next to Shun Wei, when he sees the rebel leader, Shun Wei's twin, about to kill Shun Wei, Jylan's heart freezes. He doesn't think, just throws himself in the way of the blow, but the vortex caused by the hallows pulls him in, and there's nothing he can do. Jylan screams. Chapter 7. Jylan. Shun Wei's voice is calling him, but no, that can't be right. Shun Wei doesn't call him that. Shun Wei doesn't know, except maybe he does. Jylan's ears are ringing and his head hurts and he doesn't remember whatever it is he's supposed to remember. "Xia Wei," Jylan mumbles, and his tongue feels heavy and clumsy and he's not sure he quite manages to get that right. Something about it feels wrong. Something lands on his chest, pressing against him and shaking. Jylan manages to pry his eyes open, and everything is kind of blurry, but there's a head of dark hair on his chest, face buried against Jylan. Shun Wei, he knows, but something about that is wrong too. It slips away from him and he lifts one hand. It feels ridiculously heavy, and manages to move it to Shun Wei's head. His fingers tangle in Shun Wei's short hair, and he would pet it, but it seems like so much effort. "It's okay, Xia Wei," he whispers, and his tongue still doesn't work quite right. But that's important to say. He knows it is, even if he isn't sure why. "Everything is okay." Shun Wei lifts his head, and Jylan's hand falls away, falling heavily to his side. "Yes, it will be," Shun Wei says fervently, and he's crying. Shun Wei shouldn't be crying. Then Shun Wei is pressing a hand against Jylan's forehead and another against his chest, and Jylan screams with pain. Shun Wei wouldn't, would he? The pain vanishes as suddenly as it was there, and for a moment Jylan feels like he's floating. He crashes back into himself with a jolt. His body is aching and tired, but he feels more or less fine. Shun Wei is bent over him, and Jylan pushes himself up hurriedly. The urge to bolt back away from Shun Wei and to pull him into Jylan's arms clash against each other. His brain tries to reconcile what he's seeing with what he remembers. Shun Wei is only a breath away, looking at him with red-rimmed eyes, puffy from tears. Short hair, modern clothes. Not his, Xia Wei. "It's you," Jylan says, his voice shaky, and he's not sure what he means. Shun Wei's smile is sad, and there's nothing of that innocence in it that Jylan remembers so clearly. "I'm sorry, Jylan. I didn't know. You have no reason to believe me, but I didn't know that would happen." "Was any of it real?" Jylan asks. He has no idea if he can trust the answer, has no idea any more of what's true and what's not. He still has to ask. I lost you inside the portal, Shunwei says instead of answering him. Shunwei's voice is shaky and his eyes wet. Zhaolan wants to believe those are real. I didn't realize what had happened until you came back. I don't know how to trust this. You, Zhaolan says, and the truth makes him feel vulnerable and small. He says it anyway. I want to. Shunwei's tears spill over, and Zhaolan reaches out a hand to touch Shunwei's wet cheek. It feels real. All of it felt real. I don't understand how you could. If that was real, if that actually happened, fine. But how could you still... Now, after what I did to you... Zhaolan isn't sure he's making any sense. His voice breaks and his hand shakes against Shunwei's cheek. Gently, Shunwei covers his hand with his own. Losing you hurt more than anything done to me in that place, Shunwei says, his voice heavy with too much feeling. It's not forgiveness. It's not even an explanation. Maybe Zhaolan needs all of this to be a lie. If it's a lie, then Zhaolan hasn't tortured someone that loved him, hasn't made Shunwei live through that. If this is a lie, then Zhaolan hasn't hurt someone he loves more than anyone should ever be hurt. If this is a lie, then all Zhaolan is in love with is an illusion. His eyes burn and tears roll down his cheeks. I'm sorry, Zhaolan sobs, falling against Shunwei's chest. Shunwei smells familiar and comforting, and his arms around Zhaolan feel the same as always. If this is a lie, then maybe Zhaolan just doesn't care. Chapter 8. Zhaolan never expected Shunwei to just let him go. But that's exactly what Shunwei does. Once the tears are over with, once everyone is more calm, he lets Zhaolan go. He gives Zhaolan an address and says he'll wait there until the next day. If you're not there, Shunwei says and smiles, and it's heartbreaking. I've waited for so long, Zhaolan. I won't stop waiting even if you don't come. He doesn't kiss Zhaolan, doesn't even try to touch him again. Zhaolan's reasonable doubts have staged a comeback now that he isn't so overwhelmed anymore. Zhaolan might want to reach out, but he doesn't. Right now, hand pressed against his abdomen, over the bleeding fucking bullet wound, he really regrets not kissing Shunwei. Whether any of it was real or not, he would really have liked to do that, at least once. Lao Chao, Da Qing says, tugging on his arm. We need to keep moving. Zhaolan buttons his jacket clumsily, hiding his bloody shirt and wrenches himself up. Yeah, I know. He hadn't expected anyone to be keeping an eye on Da Qing. Not after Zhaolan had cut off contact with him years ago. But of course, Zhaolan's dear dad would have known. Zhaolan shouldn't have been so careless. He supposes he could blame it on the fact that he's not exactly at his best right now. But the truth is that if it wasn't for that side trip to ancient history, Da Qing wouldn't have been his first stop, and Zhaolan hadn't expected anyone else to think of him either. He sure as fuck didn't expect that the people his dad had sent would shoot first and ask questions. Possibly never. Well, Zhaolan thinks with a wry grin, his hand pressed over his still bleeding abdomen. At least he knows where he stands with the inspectorate. Da Qing presses close to him, and Zhaolan gratefully lets him take some of his weight. Da Qing could have just left him there to die, or worse, to be captured, and Zhaolan couldn't have blamed him. Instead, he's right here at Zhaolan's side, like he's never been anywhere else. Zhaolan grimaces as he moves, pain shooting through him at every move. He thinks the bullet might be stuck somewhere inside him. If he hadn't already decided, this sure would make his mind up for him. He'd prefer to stay alive after all, and he doesn't think a hospital would be a safe move. Come on, Zhaolan tells Da Qing. I know where to go. Shunwei is waiting, and Zhaolan can't even pretend that he doesn't feel better seeing him. Zhaolan isn't leaning on Da Qing. That would be a dead giveaway as to his injury, and they don't have the time for it now. His insides feel like they're on fire, and he really wants to maybe pass out in Shunwei's arms. Shunwei smiles at both of them, relief in his eyes. "Naching," he says with a nod. Naching frowns at him. Well, apparently Naching doesn't remember Shunwei. Jialan had hoped that he might, but it's not proof one way or the other. Naching remembers very little from his own past. "We really need to leave, right now, Shunwei," Jialan says, keeping his voice tight and hoping Shunwei will read the urgency and not the pain in it. Shunwei's expression turns worried, and he looks at Jialan a bit suspiciously, but he nods and lets it go for now. "We'll have to use one of the other portals. I will not risk you another time, Jialan." Jialan grimaces at that. It's a lot more real when Shunwei is right there talking about portals. Jialan is about to betray Haixing, isn't he? Not that anyone has left him much choice, but he hadn't had any choices at all before, not until he chose to come back to Shunwei. Until right now, when he nods at Shunwei and says, "Yeah, I wasn't looking forward to that." Shunwei flashes a quick, tight smile, and then summons a portal. Jialan isn't sure he'll ever get used to seeing that. He just has the time to hear Daqing hiss in angry surprise, and then Shunwei has pulled them all through. They land somewhere with grass and a whole lot of trees. Jialan stumbles, and he hisses, pressing a hand to his wound, his vision swimming as agony burns through him. There are dual cries of alarm, and then Shunwei is holding on to him, and Jialan can't stop himself from sagging against Shunwei's familiar body. It's like Jialan's body stops listening to him and decides that he's safe now and just gives in. "Jialan," Shunwei says again, something close to panic in his voice. His voice sounds kind of funny, but Jialan thinks that might just be him. "He was shot," he thinks Daqing says, but he's not quite sure. Then everything just goes black. When Jialan wakes up, it's still dark. He's pretty sure he recognizes this darkness, though. The slight burn in his lungs is familiar. The bed is too, even if it seems a very long time ago that he was stuck in it. There's a small furry body pressed against his side, warm and comforting. He still feels tired, but he runs a hand over Daqing's back. Daqing's fur is soft under his palm, and Daqing starts purring. Some knot he didn't know was there loosens inside Jialan. He keeps stroking Daqing's back, listening to him purr. "Shunwei?" he asks quietly after some time. He can't see, but he knows Shunwei. Thinks he does. "Yes, Jialan," Shunwei's voice says from nearby. Jialan reaches out blindly, and Shunwei takes his hand. "So, how much trouble are we in?" Jialan asks wryly. Shunwei hums. "Well, everyone knows you're here now. It's not going to be a problem." The last is said with all the authority of the black-cloaked envoy. Jialan smiles and squeezes Shunwei's hand. The end.